Looking at Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, and particularly verses at the end of chapter 4, verses 20 to 32 particularly, where Paul calls on Christians to walk worthy of the calling with which they've been called, to walk worthy of the great salvation that is in Jesus Christ, to live in the grace of Christ, the love of Christ, and by the power through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the one who seals for us the redemption that is in Christ. Now, Paul has wonderfully described what it means to be a Christian in this letter. In chapter 2, if we were to summarize it, he puts it like this. Chapter 2, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But then Paul links to that in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we are not saved by good works. Our salvation is complete. It was finished upon the cross. Our salvation is in Christ alone. But we are created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And in chapter 4, Paul is working that out as to what it means to live for Jesus Christ. And he uses a picture of putting off and putting on. Putting off the old self, the old man. Putting on the new self, the new man. The old man, the old self, corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, he describes it. The new man, that if you're a Christian, you've been renewed in the spirit of your mind, in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, there's a great difference between someone who is a Christian and someone who's not a Christian, between your life before you became a Christian and your life after you become a Christian. And after you've become a Christian, then you're set apart through salvation in Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you to live a new sort of life. God put the old self to death when you trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He struck that old way of life, just living for yourself. God struck that a fatal blow. And God has given you a new life in Jesus Christ now, if you have trusted in Jesus. If you've trusted in Jesus, you have new resources now that have changed the way you're living. The power of the Holy Spirit at work in you, and you have a thankfulness in your heart for what God has done for you in his Son, Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul is not saying, be good and God will save you. He's not saying that. He's not saying, be good and God will love you. No, he's not saying that. He's not saying, be good and you will earn your salvation. No. All of that is the opposite of the gospel. But Paul is saying, if you've embraced from the heart the free grace of God in Jesus Christ, and you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior King, if you've been born again by the work of the Holy Spirit, then you will start to live a new sort of life. Your life will be set apart from the world around you. Jesus will set you free from sin's guilt and set you free from sin's power. You'll be set free to be the man or woman God intended to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So it's in Jesus Christ alone we have forgiveness of sin. But he's also the one who breaks the back of sin in us. And we have to take that victory, says Paul, and live it out in our hearts and lives and behavior every day. And Paul is emphasizing too that that's something that you're engaged in this morning if you're a Christian. You're to put sin to death and practice holiness. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Yes, it's by faith in Jesus that we are delivered from sin and death. By the Holy Spirit, God comes to take residence in our hearts. So our growth in holiness does rest on the work and power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. But there are things to be put off, says Paul, and there are things to be put on. What belongs to the old self must be put off completely. What belongs to the new self must become the habit of life. And Paul tells us plainly what it means to put off, and he tells us plainly what it means to put on. So that's very simple as an outline this morning. First of all, putting off. If you look at Ephesians 4:25 for a moment, it begins, therefore. Put off the old man, says Paul. Put off the old self. What does that look like? What does that mean in practice? What does putting off the old self mean in daily life? Therefore, verse 25, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Telling truth, says Paul, not lies, is a particular part of the Christian life in the family of God. A lie is a stab in the back of the body of Christ. Now, lying is rife in the world. It's rife in our society. And spreading false reports is commonplace. We've seen it in our public life as a nation. It's especially an issue and a problem on social media. But if you have trusted in Jesus Christ this morning, who is the truth, what does that mean in your life? It means, well, be a truth teller then. You say Jesus is the truth, and you trust him, you follow him, you know him, his Holy Spirit is at work in your heart, so speak truth. Be angry and do not sin. That's a citation from Psalm 4, verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So as well as speaking truth, never go to bed angry, says Paul. Don't let anger get the upper hand. Sometimes we lose control. But don't go to bed angry. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask for his help. Don't go to bed angry. Listen to what happened in the life of D.L. Moody, who was an evangelist in America in the 19th century. One evening he was speaking at back-to-back services, two services, straight after each other. After the first service, he was at the door greeting those who were coming to the second service. And a man approached him and, with his words, verbally insulted him. Moody never reported what the man said, but it must have been something really nasty, because Moody got angry. He lost his temper and he shoved the man, and the man tumbled down a few steps. Now, the man was not injured, but friends of Moody thought the second service is going to be ruined. People who witnessed him pushing that man down the steps wouldn't be in a right frame of mind to listen to him preach from the Bible. What would happen in the second service? When Moody called the second service to order, with a trembling voice, this is what he said. He said, "Friends, before beginning, I want to confess to you that just now I lost my temper. I lost my temper out in the hall, and I've done wrong. Just as I was coming in here tonight, I lost my temper with a man, and I want to confess my wrong before you all. And if the man is present, the man I thrust away in anger, I want to ask him for his forgiveness. And I also want to ask God for his forgiveness. So let us pray." And it's reported that at that second meeting, the Holy Spirit worked powerfully in many lives. Put off the old man. And if you get caught in a fit of anger, go to the person, confess your sin, ask for forgiveness, and ask God for forgiveness. To be a truth teller, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Because if you let anger fester in your heart, you're going to rob God of glory. You'll be giving place to the devil, and you'll break the unity of the church. Then Paul goes on to say, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. here is the Christian work ethic, which is fast disappearing in our society. People ask, why is it that services, none of them seem to work properly anymore? Well, we are moving further and further away from the Bible. And then Paul says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I know believers who found it difficult to change their speech once they confess and begin to follow Jesus Christ. But Paul says, this is important. Put off corrupt speech, because the devil will use lies and anger and wrong words, blasphemies and evil words, to bad effect in your own heart and in the body of Christ. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The language of grieving the Holy Spirit comes from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10. We're told not to quench the Spirit, not to resist the Spirit. And here, even more personally, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit loves us, but when we sin, we grieve him, says Paul. So there are motivations here to be holy in speech and behavior as a way of thanksgiving to God. This pattern to forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave us. So this is a whole paragraph about putting off. It's what many people think about when they think about the Bible. Many people imagine that this is the only thing the Bible does speak about. How to live rightly. There are many who wouldn't be surprised to hear Paul saying these things to us this morning. Don't lie. Don't lose your temper. Don't steal. Be kind and tender-hearted to one another. But you see, Paul is also saying, as well as putting off, putting on. There is something distinctively Christian here. This is not just bare morality. Paul is saying there is an old self and there is a new self. And the new self is only true of the true Christian, the one in whose heart there is new life from God. So Paul connects this putting off an old way of life with the way God's grace and salvation changes someone's life. Do you have a changed life, a new life in Christ? Live out that inner change that God has worked in you, says Paul. That change of heart should lead to a change of life. Put off the old self, put on the new self. The old, original, sinful nature that said self, 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 that is overcome by the grace of God, that is the victory of Jesus Christ for us. His victory over sin and death, it was finished upon that cross. So Paul is not saying, now by your own willpower, put off old things, put on new things, pull yourself up by your shoelaces. No, he's saying. He's saying something has happened in your heart that God has done. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you have a new power. Be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. So there is a double action here. Put off, put on. We are not to lie, rather speak the truth. Don't let anger burn in your heart. Don't go to bed angry. Rather, immediately restore broken relationships. Put away stealing and instead work to gain the resources by which you may be generous to the needy. Put off unwholesome speech. Rather, use your tongue to build others up. Get rid of bitterness, and in the place of bitterness, instead, there is kindness and compassion towards others, even as Christ practiced all through his life and ministry. There's this double action, putting off, putting on. Putting off, mortification it's called, putting to death sin. Putting on, living a new life, vivification, new life. Always a double action, never the one without the other. Sin was the fundamental purpose in our lives at one time. But if Jesus Christ has broken the back of sin, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you now, these two powers, the flesh and the spirit, the old man, the new man, live in full recognition of what you are as a new person in Christ. Now, men and women who are not Christians don't see the new life in these terms. As a result, they're not as serious about this newness of life. They don't understand this inner work of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart. A work that goes right down to the thoughts and motives and intents of the heart. Sometimes even Christians can be unbalanced at this point. Put off, but also put on. Say no, but also say yes to a new way of life. Put on holiness. Cultivate grace that stands opposite to the sin that leads to death. So don't be a stingy Christian, but more important, practice generosity. Put off, put on. A Christian who's a harsh husband must put on affection, gentleness, patience, and sacrificial love towards his wife. That love will bring confirmation. To fall in love with a loving wife, and as that husband sacrificially loves, he will love more and more. The woman who can't get past her fears and her critical tongue, practice the spirit and speech of forgiveness, compassion, humility. The ordinary Christian who has become too selfish and preoccupied with self breaks the back of that pride by saying no to some things, but yes to other things. It's always that way in the Bible. Put sin to death, but at the same time live a new life by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and out of thankfulness for God's grace. So sin is killed in the soul, yes, but crowded out with grace, so that there is no room for sin left in the heart. And that will lead to change heart, change life, change behaviors. And Paul's point is, you can only do this if you really are a new man or a new woman. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you're delighting yourself in God this morning. If your faith is in Jesus Christ. You can't cultivate a life that you don't have. You cannot bring more and more to expression in your life if God has not worked this inner change by the work of the Holy Spirit. So only Christians can do what Paul is talking about here. Because only Christians have a new self. A new self to put on. Only Christians are able to put off the old self because Christ has struck that person down. The old self is gone. If any person is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So this is distinctively Christian teaching. And at every point in Paul's meaning and pattern here, he's talking about the work of God in salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's throughout this ethical teaching in these verses. Why put off lying and speak the truth? Because God has made you, if you're a Christian, a member of a new spiritual family. Your other fellow Christians are brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't live out that family life if you're going to speak lies. Why put sin to death? Why not daily let anger burn in your heart? Because it gives the devil a foothold. But God's enemy and your enemy, if you're a Christian, the devil was conquered by Jesus Christ, by his finished work at the cross. Why be careful with your words? Why fill your speech with new conversation? Because speech that is impure, unkind, abusive, malicious, grieves the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to the believer, the seal of eternal life. Why forsake bitterness and instead practice kindness and compassion? Because that is what Jesus Christ did. And you can't say you're following Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you're not following him in also forgiving love in your own life. So woven through all these areas of Paul's teaching of what it means to put off the old self, put on the new self, is the is the note that we're being summoned to live a new sort of life, a life that flows from the love of God and faith in Jesus Christ and a dependence on the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Now, the unbeliever, try as he or she might to be good, does not have that new power. The unbeliever does not have these resources, does not have the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. So what Paul is describing here is the Christian life. Negative, don't do this. Positive, do this instead. But the reason, the motive, the power, thankfulness to God, the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has put to death the old self and has given a new life that you're to work out. That's profoundly Christian. So there have been many forms of ethical teaching that say, don't live like this instead. Many religious systems that have a moral code, but they don't base it on the work of Jesus Christ. They don't summon the call to holiness out of thankfulness for what God has done. When you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior King, you've belonged to him, and now by new power at work in you, you're living out in thankfulness for what he's done, a new sort of life. But a moral code without that new power, without the reality of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, will leave a person still enslaved to sin. But what power, what reality there is in this teaching of Paul. Sin is taken seriously, but the cure is in Jesus Christ, the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Is the Holy Spirit present to empower you in your life this morning? There's nothing artificial or cold or lifeless in this ethical system here that Paul speaks of. Lloyd-Jones, in one of his sermons on this passage, tells the story of an elderly man he knew who became a Christian at the age of 77. He was a terrible character, a drunkard, an abusive husband, a gambler. He was everything a man should not be. But he became a Christian. And this is how it happened. He was drinking beer one afternoon, and he overheard two men as they were passing by talking about the gospel. And one of the men said to the other man, "You know, I feel there is new hope and new power for me in Jesus Christ. New hope, new power for me in Jesus Christ." And it hit the elderly man who was living this bad life. And he thought to himself, if there's hope for him, perhaps there's hope for me. Now, that man couldn't put his life right by his own power. He was 77 years old. He wasn't being told to pull himself up by his own shoelaces. He wasn't just being told, try to be a better man. He was being told that there was a savior. There was a new power, the power of God, that could break that slavery of sin and replace it with a new self. Changed right down in the depths of his heart, that would then work its way out and change his behaviors in all sorts of ways. No ethical system on its own can produce that. No ethical system ever has. Marxists used to speak about the creation of a new man. The communist writers would use terms like regeneration and conscience, a new man. And describe the new man, the new communist, trustworthy, kind, ready to pardon, forgive. You might think there are commonalities with what Paul is speaking about here. But Marxism never produced the new man. Not remotely close. And no other ethical system ever has. Not Islam, not Buddhism, not Hinduism, not atheism. None of them. It's only the grace of God at work in the heart of a man and woman who trusts in Jesus Christ and is born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's God who creates that new man or woman. And I'm saying this morning, do you have that salvation? Are you a Christian, a heart Christian? Is your faith in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness, for peace with God? And does Jesus belong to you? You belong to him. And now you're seeking to work out the salvation that he has worked in you, in the reality of the new man, the new woman that Jesus Christ is making. You see, the new humanity, the new man, the new woman is directed towards God. Let me read again verses 23 and 24. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Being a Christian is trusting in Jesus Christ, following him, being devoted to God, and remembering then it is God who is at work in your heart and life. God at work through the gospel in salvation. In Christ you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who came into this world, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, will return to judge the world in righteousness. This new person is based on faith in the Jesus of the Bible. Paul is not saying renew yourself. He's saying be renewed. This renewal is not something you can do by your own power. It's something God does in you as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, says Paul. It is the Holy Spirit at work in your mind, heart, and life who enables you to work out what Paul is speaking of here, this new self. So Paul is saying something about the importance of the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit changes your mind. That doesn't just mean that you learn a few new facts. He changes your whole mindset. You believe the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. You hear the truth about Jesus, you believe it, and then you entrust yourself to Jesus Christ. And that will affect your thoughts, your heart, your inner being, your desires, your actions, everything. So that's what the gospel teaches us, says Paul. Put off the old self, be renewed by the Holy Spirit, put on the new self. And it's something God is doing in us by the Spirit. So Paul isn't just saying if you're a Christian this morning, kick back, relax, and let God get on with the work. No. There are intentional steps that are to be taken in change, put sin to death. This is something we need to be taught, says Paul. We should be intentional. There are areas in our lives that need to change. So bring those areas before God. Pray, ask him to change. Examine areas of your life where God is working. Thank him for that. But bring the areas that need to be changed to God. And of course, constantly, we must come back to the forgiveness of sins that is only ours in Jesus Christ. But this putting off and putting on isn't some optional extra for super Christians. It's the reality of the gospel. This is something that must happen, says Paul, because it's the purpose for which God has created you. It's the purpose for which God has saved you in Jesus Christ. What is God doing in the life of the Christian? He's making you more and more like Jesus. More and more conformed to Jesus. More and more like the Savior you trust in. And if there's no putting off and no putting on, I need to ask, are you really in Christ? And is Christ in you by the power of the Holy Spirit? This is a vital part of the Christian life. But thank God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, although we long to see more of change and greater and faster change, God is at work and he will bring to completion the work that he's begun in you if you belong to Jesus. So do you say this morning, now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus, he belongs to me. Are you a real Christian? If you are, put off the old self. Put on the new self. And let's ask God to help us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for this mighty work of God, the Holy Spirit, in the heart of the true believer. We pray, Lord, that you'll teach us more and more what it means to put off the old self, put on the new self. Oh, we long more and more for this change, this transformation, this putting off and this putting on. sin being put to death, and more Christ-likeness. Lord, cleanse us from our many sins. How we need to come to you each day, day by day, simply trusting in Jesus Christ. But we thank you that there is grace and power for us in the Saviour. For of sin he is a double cure. We've sung, we've prayed it, we've spoken of it, that you will be of sin the double cure. Cleanse us from its guilt and power. What a wonderful Saviour we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. So hear us now as we come in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pick up the theme of what we've been speaking of in our last hymn, 739. 739. Listen to how Charles Wesley puts it in this hymn. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me. And then he says in verse 4, a heart in every thought renewed, full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. Your nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly, write your new name upon my heart. He's talking about a new heart for God that works itself out into life. So we'll sing this hymn together, 739. Pray together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you and with all God's people today and even forevermore, world without end. Amen. Amen.